Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Goes Without Saying, you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing.
And I'm Seffi.
And this episode is all about the kind of relationship between therapy and mental health and mindfulness and all of that nonsense, and privilege and class and how those things intersect, and basically how we can make the best out of oftentimes a bad situation and kind of make the most of what we've got access to when therapy is inaccessible, and kind of discuss social media therapy and all of that shit. I think this is a good ep. I don't know. I don't feel confident, but I think it's fun. I had fun.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Okay, good. Thank you for listening. Hi.
Back again. We're pre-recording again.
Pre-recording.
It's been about half an hour since we last spoke to you in our minds, in our timeline.
But when you hear this, this is probably recorded a little while ago. So it just puts the fear of God in me, because I know we said this before, but like 10 seconds, as I'm saying something, I already disagree with myself. So it's almost like by 3 weeks' time, I'll definitely disagree with myself. But anyway. That's your cross to bear, not mine.
Literally.
You have to listen to this, not me.
Also, we've just got progressively kind of tired throughout the day. So by this point, I'm talking absolute shit.
Yeah.
So in half an hour, God knows what I'm going to be saying.
And we've got quite an interesting topic.
I know.
Here that almost requires a good bit of thought behind it. And I don't know if either of us can live up to that, but...
I know. So it's a good one to be a bit mental for by accident. Oops.
How you doing?
Last time I checked again, I am doing okay. I just went for a walk, went to the shops. I was really scared
I was gonna
bump into someone that I like met recently-ish.
Ooh.
And I was just, you know, when you're buying, like, not that I was in buying embarrassing things, but I was buying, like,
you're a bit self-conscious.
I was a bit like, I don't really want to be caught right now.
I don't identify with these things. Why? What were you buying?
I don't identify with the items. It wasn't even bad. It was literally bagels.
Oh, delicious.
Some ramen.
Amazing. Which ramen? What, like a...
It was like, they're like kind of instant noodles, but they are so good. They're called Nong Shim. Have you ever had them? I think that's how you say it. They're red. They're like extra, extra spicy.
Oh, I know the ones, yeah.
They're called, on the packet it says gourmet spicy. Definitely not gourmet.
Yes, amazing.
But I got those.
Delicious.
And I also got, this is the bit that I didn't want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a half tin of off-brand baked beans.
God, that's random.
Don't really want you to know that I don't buy Heinz. And all the... Because I'm not actually tied to Heinz as a brand. And all of the large cans of beans, this is so boring, were slightly squished. Someone had, like, they dropped off the thing somehow.
Yeah.
So I thought, I don't want this person to bump into me now. And he didn't, so it's fine. I got out clean.
Can I actually talk about a bit of bean controversy?
Definitely.
I think that this is really, like, I think this is quite a British convo we're about to get into, so you're about to get a lot more cultured if you're not from the UK. Your brain is going to be expanding. That was completely sarcastic, by the way.
Everyone knows that's sarcastic. No one thinks that your brain's expanding.
Through bean combo. Look, I don't know. I have to preempt these things.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception of the nation's favourite bean.
Wow. Okay. Let me think.
You ready for this? This really will blow your mind.
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
I think you know what I'm going to say as well, because I reckon I've said it to you before, because it's quite... I think I hold this...
It's true to
you. You know
your
what?
Heart.
I had my mind changed. Yeah, it's true to me. I think it changed my perspective, and I think, look, if I can do that for just one other person, then it's worthwhile.
Go on.
Right. I think, as you say, a Heinz baked bean... is a classic.
It's not for me. It's mush. It's mush in a can for me.
It's mush. I think it's really saucy. I think there's a lot more sauce and there's a lot
too
less
much.
Bean.
Completely agree.
I think. But I think there's a misconception, or I think there's just the general consensus, I think, in this country, is that it's Heinz baked beans. Like, that's the classic.
Great marketing from them, really.
It is.
It has to be Heinz, was their slogan.
But I'll tell you the underdog that I think is actually...
Wait, what is?
The nation's favourite bean. This is the underdog, I'm calling it.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, underdog beans. I was like, what is it?
No, I mean, that would be cool. I think they've even put this on the can through, like, the results of, like, a blind taste test, for example.
Ooh, yeah? I've seen the adverts.
A Branston baked bean...
I knew it.
...is, I think, better than a Heinz baked bean. And I was never really sure. And then one time... My boyfriend always said they're better. And then he, I think, made me breakfast once or something. And I said, the beans are really good today. And he said, it's because I didn't use Heinz. I used Branston beans.
Do you know who also likes Branston beans?
Who?
Pippi Eats. If you don't follow her on Instagram, Pippi Eats, she listens to the podcast.
Pippi Eats!
I saw her saying Branston beans were really good.
I mean, she's not wrong.
I'm pretty sure it was you, Pippi. I hope it was. Don't want to misquote
they
you.
Are good.
I'm pretty sure you said that... Branston beans were your favourite. I'm actually 100%
that's
sure
really
you said that.
That's really bad if it isn't.
Sorry if that gives you an identity...
Crisis.
That would be really like, I didn't say that.
I would be annoyed.
But I'm pretty sure she did. And congratulations on the birth of your new child.
Oh.
Most beautiful name.
Go on.
I think I can... I mean, she's on Instagram. I can definitely say it. Most beautiful name of a child I've ever heard.
Suddenly we're talking about baby. I feel so like, oh God, let's be careful. Be nice. Yeah.
Most beautiful name I've ever heard. Wren, like the bird.
Nice.
W-R-E-N.
Wren. Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, lovely.
So congrats, Pippi.
Big congratulations. And congrats on having amazing taste.
Yeah, on the Branston beans.
In names and in beans.
Yeah.
All the important things. No, I urge everyone to try a Branston bean because I really do actually stand by this.
I'll try them. I'm just such a cheapskate with beans, I think. I'll go for like...
They are expensive though. I don't think a baked bean is like a cheap...
Well, this is the problem though. So for the Heinz beans, and I believe... with also the Branston beans in the same kind of area of the Sainsbury's near my house.
I think Sainsbury's is expensive as well in general.
It is, but there's fucking hell nothing else near me.
Yeah.
There used to be a Lidl near me and it was the heyday of my life, honestly. They're £1. They're £1 for a thing of fucking beans.
For one can.
For one can. Or you can get the Sainsbury's like own brand and they're 35p.
Yeah, well that's
so
good.
Obviously I'm going to get that.
But did they taste all right? They probably don't taste that good, do they?
They're fine to me. Hmm. In Lidl, they used to be 18p for a big can.
I tell you what, I never could have imagined this episode would start like this, but I'm so happy it did.
Same. I could go on.
What did I say about expanding your mind? Go on.
Therapy. Oh, you want me to go on about beans?
Yeah.
Or you want to move the conversation to therapy and privilege? Because I'm done with beans.
Well, I thought you had a good point on therapy coming there.
No, I don't. I was just going to say, should we move on to therapy? Oh.
Yeah, let's.
I think a lot of it goes without saying in my mind, like the conversation we're about to have,
okay,
is just like
is irrelevant. So let's steer it back to the beans.
And none of that goes without saying, guys. I just think it's 100%. I think we're all in agreement. Like the DMs and the question box we put up on our story was unanimous. It's like 100%. You cannot argue with the fact that to be able to afford therapy is a huge privilege.
Definitely, but I don't think we are going to argue that. I think we're gonna say, like, I think there's interesting kind of conclusions to be drawn. Like, when before we started recording, I was saying, like, you know, you can't afford therapy. Therapy is a privilege. But I was saying before we started recording that, yeah, it goes without saying therapy is a privilege. And even to have an awareness of mental health and your own mental health in itself is a privilege and kind of speaks to some degree about what you've been kind of exposed to. But I was also saying, like, oftentimes I think there is not just the stigma, but there's an inaccessibility of therapy for the least privileged people in society. And I reckon the most stigma around it. And oftentimes you're dealing with the most external factors that could contribute to negative mental health. So, for example, the working class have not only just general mental health issues of being a human being, but also less exposure, not just to therapy, but also probably less chance to get out for a fucking walk in the morning because they start work like 2 hours before you, or less ability to cook a nourishing meal because beans are fucking expensive and they have to only get the 30p. Do you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. And I think as well, like, a lot of our podcasts, and we go through phases, but we speak a lot about therapy, and I know therapy has absolutely, I don't think you'll mind me saying, changed both of our lives.
No, I do not mind you saying.
Changed lots of things, changed the way that we see ourselves, changed the way that we deal with certain issues in our lives and blah, 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 blah. I've had a mixture of free and paid therapy in my life. I would actually say the free therapy. All right, let me just kick off straight with a message from someone, because this kind of ties in. Somebody said there are free counsellors in school, which is great, but without that, I wouldn't have gotten help. And I was thinking this and I was wondering, so the first like therapy I ever had was in school and it was free. And I wonder if I hadn't have been able to have that, how different my life would be now. And I know it would be totally different because it really shaped my understanding of, to be honest, what therapy even was and what it could do for me. And that is just not an option for so many people for an abundance of reasons, which is fucked up.
Beyond fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, so fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Go.
No,
I thought you were going to... No, go.
No, I... Well,
I was just going to say something because I thought you weren't going to say something, but then you started saying something, so then I...
But I was just going to say something because I thought really maybe you weren't going to say something, but it was nothing good.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I just think, especially now, like, I think there's a big awareness, there's a big conversation, there's a big discourse around therapy online, and I think so much of the rhetoric is like, yeah, we all should be going to therapy, get a therapist, etc., etc. And obviously so much of that is without context because that's what social media is, and I don't blame anyone for giving us a neat little soundbite or like a perfect infographic that doesn't go into all of the disclaimers and like acknowledgements of why that is layered and complex and nuanced and layered with privilege, but it is also layered and nuanced and all of those things tied up in privilege. And I think where we're at this point where there's so much of a push towards wellness and mindfulness and so much of that is about therapy, I just think it's really hard to feel worthy, to be honest, when you're being shown by society that you and your mental health are not valued. Someone said it feels like being set up to fail when most working class people can't access therapy. And I think this is a good and bad, not that's a good and bad thing, but I think there's good and bad in the fact that a lot of working class people can still have access to social media and there are a lot of helpful resources on social media. There are, not that they replace therapy, goes without saying, but there are good, you can be exposed to new ideas, new tools,
even the, like, language of it. Like, there's so much of the language that you don't hear unless you're in groups that are also exploring mental health, things like that.
For sure.
And that's why social media is great, because it's not great, but there are elements that are great that open you up to literally concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got so many issues with, like, infographic fucking bullshit, but I actually also think, I mean, there's so much power in teaching fucking young women what fucking gaslighting is, what fucking CBT therapy and why it can help on an Instagram. It's like,
definitely.
Yeah, okay,
things can be good and bad at the same time. Like, there can absolutely be like a booming industry that is capitalizing on like selling you something that is inaccessible to you and convincing you that you need something that you can't afford, for example, and not because they want to help your mental health, but because you need help with your mental health. But then there's also, yeah, like so much education in that. And I also like, I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but I have like a bit of an annoyance about, I don't know, I think there's like people make arguments about like, about kind of infographics or just like Instagram feminism, Instagram communism, all of these things, and say that it is kind of diminishing the substance or like undermining the concepts. But I also think that is a really exclusivist and like elitist and classist perspective to have. It's a really privileged position to have, I think, that you can look at, what's her name? Florence Given, and be annoyed that she is telling young women about feminism because you think she's reducing it down to something cute and sellable. Obviously, it's nuanced and complex, but making something accessible and understandable to people who never would have been exposed to this otherwise is really powerful, I think. It's not all bad. It just can't all be bad. It just isn't. And I do think there's a classist element to it where you're looking at essentially the younger generation learning things, like learning things off of TikTok, for example. Yes, there are problems with that, but it's really powerful. It's really empowering for a lot of people. And it can be a really good stepping stone into further research.
Completely agree. I think it's even just like a dated view because something's on social media, it is instantly void.
Yeah.
I don't think actually...
It doesn't even have to be anti-feminist or... It doesn't even have to be classist or any of these things. It's also about preferring the BBC to YouTube.
Exactly. And because you're... traditionalist. You might have an understanding, you've studied fucking feminism in your fucking academic text, but because something is in pink writing and because something is a TikTok and it's a girl in a fucking car talking about something just on their way back from their shift at fucking wherever, somehow that undermines the content. But it's actually like, this doesn't need to be... There's something like less official about it. It's like, who wrote that? It was a girl in her bedroom. Or who wrote that? It was a fucking it's a blog post, whatever the fuck it's gonna be. And I do think it's just almost like that's how information is spread now. You don't need to get it published in a journal or any of this stuff. And yeah, so many issues with misinformation and all of this, but I just think it's quite dated. It's like, that's actually the view that I think the older people in my life would have of like,
totally,
like kind of Instagram is not a good way to get your news. It's like, well, that's where they're hanging out.
Well, they're learning a lot of things. We can teach them some good things as well, then that would be nice.
Well, it's just, that's where people are.
It's also like, well, I think you're the idiot for trying to draw comparison between, yeah, a girl making a TikTok in her car and 20th century feminist literature.
Yeah.
Who's the dummy here? I don't think it's that poor girl on TikTok. I'm sure she's saying some things that aren't true.
But it's a gatekeeping thing as well.
But maybe then we should, instead of undermining the people making the content, we should be doing more to teach people about how they receive information and critically thinking and how to engage with receiving concepts online.
Yeah.
Like, is it the problem with the person making the content, or is it that none of us have been, well, a lot of people haven't been properly taught how to differentiate between fucking bullshit online and conspiracy theories and fucking nonsense and the truth? Just a personal little gripe that I have.
Love it.
Grinds my gears.
A little gripe.
It annoys me. It annoys me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I also think, sorry, just going back to what we were saying before, the stigma around mental health and just the awareness of mental health is definitely dealt with differently in terms of class, obviously.
Yeah.
Someone also put this really perfectly. They said, queer/POC may have a harder time finding a therapist that understands them. Therapists are largely white, so it's a privilege to be able to easily find one to connect with, which I also think just ties into the idea that because of class and because of the fact that you are just more likely to be better educated and given stronger opportunities and pushed further in life if you look a certain way or have a certain background, etc., etc., or have a certain socio-political economic status, you are more likely then to be a therapist, for example.
Yeah.
So then,
and then people can't relate to you that need fucking therapy.
Totally. And I actually felt really bad because I was lucky enough to have a therapist who wasn't white probably like a year or two ago, but she's no longer a therapist now. But I felt bad because people were asking me. No.
What's she doing now?
Well, she's taking a break.
Oh, okay.
She's on a sabbatical.
She's had a whole crazy life, hasn't she?
I put her off. I took her to the pits and left her there. Yeah, she was great. But it's definitely a struggle. But I was also, this is the point that I was going to make earlier. And again, we'll separate this from privilege, I think. But sometimes, so if we pull it right down to its roots, and again, we've all been there. I think a lot of people, I don't want to make this sound like I'm pointing fingers, but I do think it's a fair comment.
Go on.
So I'm saying this with love, guys. I think sometimes, look, there's no denying, and I'll speak just from a UK perspective, the NHS is obviously not in a good way right now, and mental health, we don't do enough to support mental health for people in this country, especially young people, I think, in this country, where if you fucking call your doctor and say, hi, I'm really not doing well, you could be on a waiting list for knows how long. You could be on a waiting list for a really, really, really long time. And in that time, you're really like left to your own devices of how, you know, what are you going to do? Well, they might give you a fucking YouTube video or two in the meantime, but you're really on your own until you get picked up by someone, until the resources are available to you through the NHS. That being said, I also think, and I don't know if I just think this is a working class issue because I'm looking in my circle, but I think a lot of people, I think because there is such a long waiting list and because it's so much hassle sorting it out in the UK through the NHS and whatever it can be, that it ends up being a real deterrent for people to even bother.
Definitely.
In the first place.
Definitely.
And I think a lot of that is, it's not even the waiting list that's put you off because you're not even on the waiting list. It is the hassle and, you know, dealing with it. But I think it's also dealing with the stigma because I think a lot of our generation think, I don't have a stigma attached to my mental health. I listen to Go Start the Same podcast where they're insane every week and they're talking about X, Y, Z and blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of us think that we don't feel shame or like that we're kind of comfortable talking about it. But I think oftentimes there is the reality of it can be really, really daunting to like pick up the phone or like send an email off or whatever or sort out with your GP getting on a waiting list for something because it's a hard thing to do, first of all, but also because you're just told from birth that you just need to get on with things. And again, this is a very British episode, but especially in the UK, I think it's just stiff upper lip vibes and just get on with it. And it's a real weakness to have any emotion other than like just being kind of nonchalant about things.
I also think there's a weird thing with the waiting list idea that it's almost like people don't want to call acknowledge their issues, say I'm depressed, for example, and they say, okay, cool, now we're in a waiting list, yeah, here's a leaflet and a YouTube video, hang up the phone, suddenly you're left in, that's
you're gonna volunteer yourself in your bedroom, shit morning dealing with that phone call.
You've now acknowledged to yourself, to potentially people around you, or just to another human being, that you're not coping. And okay, well, we're going to leave you in that for 4 months now.
Mm.
I think that is part of it, that it's like, okay, well, if I just keep it under lock and key in my mind, I never say it out loud, I never say it, then I can just move around my life with it.
Completely.
But it's this idea that if you say it out loud and then you have to wait, it doesn't seem fucking doable. If you can't then just pay a bit of money and have someone else come and fucking sort it out sooner.
Yeah.
If you're stuck in that, like, right, okay, now I just have to fucking sit in my misery essentially until what, someone comes and saves me, because I mean the reality is, it's like, even when you get it, there's no guarantee that it's fucking helping,
it's gonna be right for you, and etc and blah blah blah.
So to even try it out is fucking 3 months down the line,
for sure. I would say get yourself on a waiting list anyway, like,
definitely,
if you've been looking for a sign to get you to pick up the phone and try and book an appointment and blah blah blah,
this is it,
just try and fit it in today. Yeah, just try and make the first move.
It is also quite crazy, the phone call. Like, I had never I'd never had like an NHS phone call for therapy. Like, I've only ever had paid therapy when I was at uni, and I was gonna have like counseling at school, but I just never did. I was probably just being a brat and like, I don't need it. But like, I had never had like an NHS phone therapy, but I had one like to like the assessment thing, like a few weeks ago. It was in the middle of our we were recording, and they called me back but I was like right, okay, I need to get on a fucking waiting list for like body dysmorphia, blah blah blah. And one of the questions they asked, like, I know it's the fucking NHS and we fucking love the NHS, goes without saying, but it's literally like, it was just quite a crazy question that I got asked. I think it was one of them that was like, or it's not a crazy question, but it's a crazy question considering the wait time for therapy. And the question was, what stops you from taking your own life? And I remember just being quite taken aback, like, oh my god, like, I've never thought of it. And I think my answer was like, I've just never been sad enough, like, I've never thought of it, because I'm lucky in that way. But it was just like, it's then a bit crazy, I think, to then hang up the phone. And I'm luckily in a privileged enough position that I can then be like, fuck, okay, I need therapy, I need to fucking pay someone 50 quid for an hour. But for people that can't, it's like, now you're in your fucking bedroom, someone's just asked you, what stops you from taking your own life? If you don't have an answer for that, that's a really, really vulnerable place that a professional person has put you. Well, I don't know who this person was. I don't know if it was the receptionist, a therapist. I have no fucking idea. They're just reading questions. But I just honestly thought, God, that is such an irresponsible question to ask. I think it's an irresponsible question to ask, considering then that person has to wait for 3 months to see anyone.
So I think that question informs where you go in terms of a waiting list.
I think it does as well. But I think almost the urgency with what the reply could be like, they need to see you now sort of thing. Like, you need to be incoming in tomorrow. But I just don't see that happening.
I think depending on your response, they give you a different answer. But also, like, I've done a few different like volunteering things throughout my life for like mental health things, like and crisis, like things like that. And one of the main things that they say, which I actually think is really good, is, and I think I might have said this on the podcast before, but I don't know, is to not beat around the bush about like self-harm and suicide.
Yeah.
Because if someone is suicidal, you don't need to worry about like making them feel awkward by asking them if they're suicidal. Basically, that the best thing you can do is say, are you suicidal? Are you making plans to kill yourself?
That's really interesting. Yeah, but I think that's a different question though. I think that's a different question, because I think they'd already asked, I think there was like a whole load of questions.
They ask you before they say, have you ever thought about suicide? They first, I think, say, have you ever considered self-harm? And have you ever self-harmed? When was the last time you self-harmed? Then they ask about suicide, and then they say, why don't you? Not like that, why don't you go?
But it was that, it was what stops you. And then she said, what do you think? Because I was like, wait, what? And then she was like, so what do you think about that stops you? And I was literally like, what a strange phrasing almost.
That was her explaining it to you.
The question was, what stops you? And then she clarified.
Yeah, the question is, what stops you? And then she
what
said,
what do you
yeah,
think
what,
about?
What, like, what do you, what have you thought of?
Yeah. And I just thought, I don't know what I would, how I would have felt if I didn't have an answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those phone calls just are really hard.
Yeah, they are.
I think they can be really, they're very confronting, I think.
But made double as hard. Like, it would be what it would be a completely, completely, completely different thing if it was, here's the fucking assessment that we do, and the following week you come in and we fucking
if you respond to that question with, like, I don't know, I'm suicidal right now, there's nothing really stopping me, they avert you to crisis line, they avert you to someone closer to you, something local,
place. But it kind of just almost felt like a person reading off a list and they hang up, and it's almost like, oh god, I don't know how people would
totally
feel.
Oh, it totally is. They've got a set of questions for sure.
Like,
yeah.
It just almost felt absolutely crazy to do that and then be like, okay, so the waiting list is 6 months. It's like, okay.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's why it's so hard. I think that's why it's so fucking hard, because, like, no one fucking gives a shit. And I don't mean, like, the person answering the questions. I mean, like, they're being put in a difficult position because, what, Boris Johnson doesn't want to...
Because of a Tory government.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Because of, like, 10, 15 years of austerity.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so frustrating. And I know that, like, I think there are a few episodes where we're in the heat of our therapy and we're like, get a therapist. And I think listening to this kind of content and stuff can make you really like, shit, I really want a therapist, I really need one, blah, 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 blah. And I just think it's like, oh, it's just annoying that you won't be, there's probably, I don't know your life, but there might only be a certain set, there might not be, basically, there are certain things that won't be accessible to you, and I would want them to be accessible to you, and that is just annoying. But I also think, let's kind of make use of what we've got in terms of, I don't know, like pushing ourselves into spaces that we can benefit from, and also anything basically that we have responsibility and control over, trying to use it, because I'm not waiting around for Boris to give a shit about me.
Oh, you'll be waiting. You'll be waiting until you're dead. Like, you'll be waiting until it kills you.
It's crazy. Okay, I like this message, and it's going to lead me into a question for you, surprise, surprise.
Oh, lovely.
Somebody said, as someone who needs therapy but can't afford it, expecting everyone to be able to fix, quote unquote, fix their mental illness with therapy is irrational. And it kind of got me thinking about how, basically, kind of what we've been saying, it just got me thinking of, what do we do then? What do we do? If therapy is inaccessible to you, what do we do? And I'm kind of obviously going to, I think, take everything with a pinch of salt. You should, not me. But I think I'm just personally going to speak from the heart and speak very anecdotally, because I think that's all we can do, in the sense that I don't think you lot are naive enough to think that we are your therapists, although I'm sure it feels like it sometimes. But I was going to ask you, Sefi, like, what are the things that you do? And if therapy could never be an option for you ever again in your life, through the NHS, through paid, whatever, what are some non-negotiables for you? And I don't mean like in an ideal world. I mean like something that you already have in practice that really benefits your mental health.
I think reading, like, as in...
Oh, that's a nice one.
No, I don't mean reading fiction books. I'm not here talking about read fucking Olga Dye's Dreaming, our book club book of last month, which was stunning.
Okay, it's not a nice one then.
Join our book clubs on Patreon. That's really inaccessible. A thing that I have found is Google the fucking issue you think you have, i.e. for me, it was body dysmorphia. I Google body dysmorphia, fucking top therapist. Fucking go on YouTube, fucking look at fucking... the videos that are on there, that the people do, like, conferences on anxiety, conferences on fucking specific things, like, and I found, like, conferences of body dysmorphia content. Watch all of them. I found a fucking podcast that's called Breaking BDD, which is body dysmorphic disorder. I found when I was Googling the therapists that were speaking at this conference, I found that one of them has written a book. I bought his book. I think these are the fucking resources you have. I'm never, ever, ever in my life going to be able to afford this therapist that's speaking at this conference, because it's the top.
I mean,
is the
Let's
top.
Not say that. I'll manifest it for you. Don't you worry.
I don't even know if I want to speak to a man about it, but I just feel like it's I'm never going to be able to afford him, or it's inaccessible. He lives in America, but I bought his book on it. There's someone else who spoke at the conference that I watched on YouTube. I had to watch it on double speed because they speak at the pace of a snail. But I do think there are ways to access these people's like teachings without paying for them. And yeah, an £8 book that I can buy off Amazon is an accessible way for me to get all of the resources without having to hear it, without having to be in a room with him. I think there are loads of ways that you can actually find out the fucking stuff. And he's talking about all this. There's also documentaries that I watched on like literally BBC iPlayer. Just type in the thing that you
are dealing with,
have the thing you suspect you have, and I honestly just think deep dive on it. But I also think, of course, it's not, of course it is no
you watch a YouTube video and you're cured overnight.
Yeah, it's no like replica. Is that what I want to say? My brain is mush by now, sorry guys. This is the fourth ep of the day we've recorded, and it feels like the trickiest topic of the day, but I'm happy with it.
Sounds like I've got a gun to your head.
My eye is itching as well now. I'm losing it. Help me back. There are ways that you can access the shit that you need to access, which doesn't actually mean having to get on the fucking phone, get on Zoom with doctor blah blah blah. But you can access, the more famous they are, the more successful they are, likely the more famous they are, and you can fucking get their shit online.
You've probably already seen versions of their teachings on fucking Pinterest quotes and shit like that.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, for me, it's been getting quite serious with myself about like, okay, so my therapist that I used to have costs fucking £100. I met her when she was a trainee, and it was like, and now she's just got better and better because she's just incredible, and now she's like £100 for 50 minutes. That's absolutely out of the question for me. So it was more about, okay, well, maybe I can get an NHS thing, or maybe I can find another trainee somewhere in London, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's been really, really serious, being quite serious with myself about like, okay, so you have this thing, it's wrecking your life. Let's fucking buy some books. Like, how would I intellectually
approach
something else? If I had to get a good fucking mark in an exam, I would read books, I would watch videos, I would listen to podcasts. Okay, well, let's fucking beat the fucking thing that's getting you down through your mind.
Yeah,
hasn't worked so far, but I'm still reading, still listening, still watching.
It is working.
I'm a lot better than I would be if I wasn't doing those things. Also, I think it's about being smart in terms of, I don't know if I have these kind of like tools from the previous therapy I've had, but like, or even like things I learned from those videos that I watched. And if you also struggle with body dysmorphia, I reckon it's just like body dysmorphia conference, honestly, type that in. And there are weird, it's like there's body dysmorphia influencers and things like that. Like, there's a fucking shit ton of stuff. Like, when you go in and like,
yeah,
then you can just write it all down in your notes so you've got it accessible and just keep going to it. That's my only tips, really.
Yeah. I also think people often say things to us as well, and I've definitely had this feeling in therapy of being like, okay, but I know all of this shit, so why is it not changing anything? Or like, I think you can get that through reading books and looking at the conference and blah, 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 and researching. But I also think you can get that in a therapy session. You can be talking back to them saying, like, you're not giving me new, this is not new info to me. I know this. I can understand this and I can rationalize it. So what is changing? And I actually think a part of that is understanding that through you learning and understanding, it is changing. And I think sometimes we think that getting better or progress is going to feel or look different, like be or look a different way or feel a certain way, and that's not necessarily true, because I do think by understanding it, you might feel like, okay, but I know that when I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z, I do A, B, and C, and that is because of my X, Y, and Z, and I just need to blah, 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 blah. But I think a lot of the time people are like, but what's the tangible way that I can put that into practice? And I think it's like, you just did.
Yeah.
I actually think there's a lot of action in the thought itself.
That's really nice. Yeah, I completely agree.
Because it's just a habit of thought.
Yeah.
You're just getting into the habit of changing the way that you're thinking about something, and totally, like, there will be a lot of things working against that. Like, medication might be something to look into. You might still just need therapy, et cetera, et cetera. But I think sometimes we get into a rut, a quote unquote rut. Mm. You might need to watch a few YouTube videos of how I get out of a rut. Reset routine, bless you.
How I get out of a funk.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes we get into these cycles where we feel really stagnant. It's like, I know all of this shit and I'm still fucked and it's blah, 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 blah. Nothing's working and all of these things. There's nothing tangible that you can hold on to and make, like, physical change. And I actually think the thought itself
is the change.
Is physical change. It just feels fucking exhausting and it just feels like a real fucking drag, to be honest.
Oh my God, the biggest drag.
Mm.
Well, because it's almost like, okay, so I've read the stuff. Okay, when does it start changing? When is the come on, like, why did I still have a breakdown after reading it? It's like, well, because the reading isn't the fix. Like, it's slowly, slowly, slowly.
It is.
It's so slow, and I think that's part of the thing that's so I guess that intersects with privilege, is you need the fucking time. You need a lot of time because it's fucking slow. It's kind of okay, so you pay for the 6 sessions or whatever it is, you fucking pay for that. So at the end of the sixth, it's not okay, brilliant.
Like, I'll see you in 6 years, mate.
Full stop.
Let's see how you get with that.
Yeah, it's now you need another fucking 6 and another fucking 6. It's not it's not a fucking little full stop at the end of it, like, da-da-da, you're cured, you did the end of the course, here's your certificate.
But it does something that I really, is like, I've seen things that I used to struggle with now can still be an issue for me, but I have fix that problem, for example, through therapy, but also through my own discipline, for example, over it, and through really fucking trying. And it's like, I can see the difference. I do know the difference over, like, 10 years. And it's something that I can reflect on. It's something that my friends can see a change in. It does happen.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily require therapy.
Not at all. Do you have any things that you do, like, other than therapy that, like, if you couldn't have therapy, all of that, what are your tools that you do?
There are a ton of things. I think one of them is think about who you are spending time with is a good one. I don't think we've really touched on that much.
Ooh.
Yeah. Feels kind of fresh, doesn't it? Ooh, fresh, exciting take.
That's
from Stephanie.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think there's a ton of things, but that's one of them, I think, is having the awareness of, like, who you're going to be spending time with is going to impact the way that you feel. Like, obviously, it's your own, or it's my own responsibility to my actions and my emotions and all of these things. It's no one else's problem. It's mine, for sure. And I don't think it's about, like, blaming someone else for putting you in a bad mood or making you feel a certain way. You can definitely be really reactive. But I think it's naive to, like, not be able to acknowledge that other people have an impact on the way that you feel, for sure, especially if you spend a lot of time with them, or they're really close to you, or they have a lot of access to you, or you're in kind of, you know, sometimes you get into a pattern with someone where, like, your relationship looks a certain way. Like, you might have a relationship where it just looks like them, I don't know, saying things to you that you don't like, and Ooh. That's just how the relationship looks. I mean, you're just in that routine of, they think that's acceptable. And you show them that it's acceptable by not
saying
establishing
nothing.
Your boundaries, for example, and still seeing them and those sorts of things. I think
that's really shitty.
Like,
I
just always feel better though when I know. I always feel better when I'm around, like, people that I love, people that I have a good relationship with. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's people that I trust not to push their issues on me, because I think it's there's an acceptance within, I think it's our generation, and acceptance within the people I know and love anyway, that it's like, we're all a bit fucked up. Like, we've all got very specific anxieties and little triggers and hooks, and we all accept that if something fucking triggers you one day, you might go, wow, you're a fucking bitch. You might do a little, you might snap, and that's okay, as long as it always comes down to, I'm really sorry, I was triggered in that moment, I'm so fucking sorry. And I think there's a very different thing. I think what's really important to me is just, like, an acknowledgement of this is my fucking shit and it's not gonna come on you. And if it's not gonna, he's not gonna, do not worry, he's not gonna come on you.
All over your face.
But it's almost like, don't fucking worry. It's when things start bleeding out. It's when it starts bleeding out onto, like, it's okay for like a momentary lapse. We're all fucking human, but I'm not having the slow fucking bleed slow of everyone's issues becoming everyone else's issues. I can't do that. It needs to be this is my don't worry, this is my shit and we can all talk about it, it's all fine, we can all have our moments, but I'm not having someone else kind of push their
project
issues on, or like anxieties, issues, whatever, on me, because it's like, life is just hard enough for everyone.
Insecurities.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's bad.
That's
when
it.
Someone has an insecurity, and when you hang out with them, you realize that you're also developing that insecurity.
Yeah. Not good.
That's really
fucked up.
Painful for everyone involved, because the person doesn't want to be pushing their insecurities and the person doesn't want to be absorbing their own insecurities as well. It's horrible.
I think sometimes people do think they want to be projecting their insecurities. Do you know what I mean? It's not just that. Goodness. Sometimes they're not just accidentally putting you down. Sometimes they're intentionally putting you down.
But even if they are intentionally, they don't want to be doing... Like, I just genuinely think they don't...
No, not in the deepest, like, kindness of their heart.
It's like,
no,
they just can't
sure.
help it, almost.
But I think day-to-day people are like, fuck that bitch, I'm going to put her down.
Yeah.
Because I feel like shit. Which is fucked up.
There was a thing. I don't know where I saw this. Do you know what? Could be a TikTok, could be an infographic. This is why it's all important. Someone... I saw somewhere... Although it probably was not one of those. I don't know. It was someone saying that whenever someone's... Like, it might be obvious, but it kind of blew me away slightly.
Blew you away, yeah.
That however anyone feels and they're trying to hurt someone else, or they say something mean, or whatever they're doing, or they do something mean, they are trying to make them feel the emotion that they are feeling. So if somebody is feeling lonely... One of a really common response to that is to try and make someone else feel lonely. Or if someone is feeling angry, they want to make someone else feel angry. If someone's feeling insecure, they want to make someone else feel insecure. So if someone's making you feel a certain way, it's quite likely that that person is also feeling like that.
Totally.
But I never really thought of that. Like, I almost thought, like, if someone's making me feel shit, you might assume that they feel kind of good, or they feel they felt good from doing that or something like that. But of course they don't.
Yeah,
of course
it comes
they
from
don't
security.
But I just thought it's interesting in terms of, like, if you feel jealous, you want someone else to feel jealous, like you want to put the emotion on that person just to make them feel what you feel. And was I going anywhere with that? Who knows?
No, I think that's the perfect point.
Maybe that was the end. The brain is diminishing, the brain cells are dying off. They're dropping like flies
by the second. No, I think that's a perfect point.
Good. I think that was half of the point, but the other half has eluded me.
We can give you a second. Do you want to think?
I don't think I'm capable of thought.
I'm bothered. She can't be bothered. All right, let's go. Okay.
Well, do we want to say anything else? Like, that's not the end, is it?
Is it not?
I guess we're on 50 minutes almost.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Okay, so maybe we're done. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
All in a day's work.
Fuck me. Okay. Woo. Let's hope I'm just chilling on a beach somewhere. You're in Lisbon living it up.
Oh, let's hope so. Let's fucking hope so.
Yeah.
If not, honestly, I would just take my bed. Like, that sounds great as well.
What are your thoughts on this episode? Bit unsure.
What are my thoughts on the episode? I think it's...
Just almost can't be trusted right now. Just a bit tired.
I think it's good. Not too sure. I think it's good.
Fine.
I think it's been good.
I think it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's good.
I think it's a good combo.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I think it's just a bit like, look, we talk about self-help and all of that shit all the time, and I just want to really take a moment, just let it have its proper moment to emphasise that so much of this conversation is wrapped up in privilege, and our emphasis is always just, we want you to be able to do what you can. Any way that we can help, oh my God.
Let us know.
Gosh, that's saying. Please, at your service. Jesus. Whatever you need.
We will bend over backwards.
Honestly. But, like, for real, like, obviously we talk about this shit all the time, so just want to make sure that everyone is aware that it's a fucked up issue, you know, and it's super complex.
Yeah, life is, yeah, it's so, it's a joke.
Goes without saying.
Cool. What are you going to do now?
Well, here we are at the end of the episode.
We're at the end of our episode, we're at the end of the working day for us.
I've got some shit to do, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, for our merchandise. Let's not go back there.
I of course you've got to go in and fix some things.
Blah, blah, blah. And I also want to get the back end, like all of the assets looking good, but it's fine.
Assets. I love when you say assets. Like when things have been arriving, you've been like, I want the assets in front of me, you've said. And yeah. I've thought, whoa, we're professional. Jesus Christ.
Oh, assets.
Fucking hell.
You like that? Oh, I've said
we
more.
Are girl bosses. Like,
there's more where that came from. Bloody hell.
Do we have assets?
We have assets. Of course we do. Anyway.
Assets.
Yeah?
Oh my God, so stunning. Okay, well.
The assets are the least of the fucking worries. Oh, I just hope you guys are okay.
Hopefully everyone bought our merch. For us, the merch still hasn't come out yet.
I don't know where, I don't know what time, where you are right now. I don't know what time this is for you. Hope you're well, though.
Oh, hope you're having a great time.
Thanks for bearing with us. I just got to the end and like, just dump all of the other shit in there. Just like, just start chatting with them. Just start chatting shit, really.
Did this episode start with us talking about baked beans?
Yeah.
Was that this episode? Bloody hell. That feels like a lifetime ago.
It's a real banger of an episode.
I hope it's been enjoyable for everyone to listen to.
It just gets better and better from there on, really.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay. Cool. Right, get me out of here before I fuck this whole thing up.
Let's cut while we're ahead.
It's pushing it now. Yeah,
cool. We're not ahead anymore.
As the seconds pass, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, we're no longer ahead, so let's stop now.
It's also the kind of thing that in editing I'll be like, God, just fucking finish the episode.
Oh my
Shut
God
up.
I do that so much when we get,
do you know what I mean,
when I think when we're recording that we add like a little funny bit at the end, then when it's editing it's like idiots.
Oh, it's so annoying. I thought the end was two minutes ago. Oh,
cool. Right, if you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.